part of the revolution today.
Welcome to America Tonight. This is Kate Delaney hanging out with you, whether you're in the snowy part of our nation right now, or you're in the sunny, dry part, which would be a little bit further west. Of course, the east still digging out of the snowstorm, the blizzard that was. Buses are moving slow, planes are not taking off, and cars have been abandoned. Oh, the good old abandoned cars. So what do you do when you decide to abandon? I mean, what do? If it's that bad, you decide to abandon your car in our nation's biggest city. And what, just roll the dice, take a chance, hope that you're going to be able to find the car eventually? Ooh, that's a brutal thing to imagine, isn't it? I can't imagine that. What do? I can't see. I can't keep driving. And then you hope that someone doesn't smash into your car, the idiots that are trying to clean the few streets that they're able to get cleaned off. 1,600 snow plows. Ugh. I don't know that I like my chances. So that blizzard, they're hoping, will be all cleaned up by the end of the week, which is just in time for what happens, the ball dropping on Times Square on Friday night. Many of you at some point probably have seen, been there, or at least tuned in to that exciting piece of our history. What do you do on New Year's Eve? We watch the ball drop in a city across the nation, all the way over, many states over, a couple of time zones over. Somebody asked me today, what happens in California? It's just like football. You know what the best thing is when you live in California, everybody else is getting the football games later, so you roll out of bed. I'm saying you roll out of bed after a fun Saturday night, let's hope. Stumble out, get your cup of joe, and boom, you are planted in front of the tube and the games. Let the games begin. You're not waiting until 1 o'clock kickoffs in the afternoon. It's there for the taking. You're in your jammies. You're watching. And then by the time it's done, you have that break in between because you're in California. So you can go and, you know, play some football. Go lift some weights. Take a jog. Whatever. Go eat some greasy food to make yourself feel better from what happened the night before. But you get my drift, right? So, anyway. It still is about digging out there, and the amounts of snow that the totals are still pretty crazy. The fact that you had 32 inches in some places, they just were not prepared for that kind of snow. So while you're all chuckling in Illinois and in Minnesota and Wisconsin, all those places where you're used to big-time snow, think of the people in Duluth, Minnesota. You think they can't deal with snow? Of course they can deal with snow. Then you have this mayor of New York City, Bloomberg, saying, I'm angry at how long it's taking to clear the snow. It's the worst. What are we supposed to do? I mean, it's sad. The snowstorm paralyzed most of New York City. Now, is there any conspiracy theories out there that or theorists who believe that terrorists created the blizzard of 2010? Because think about it. How can you impact millions of people, travelers stuck at airports, even across the country, trying to get to the Northeast? Streets unplowed. Mail that can't be delivered. Roads closed. Roads reduced to a lane that were normally three. Hundreds of cars stranded on the roads. If I just described that to you and said, what could possibly do that? Can you imagine? It's not the worst snowstorm they've ever had, by the way. And the snow emergency was lifted, as you know, on Monday night. But there were still problems on Tuesday. Still problems with transportation. Like I said, this is a built-in defense. It's a built-in excuse to say you can't come to work. Because, really, you can't get there. What do you expect me to do? I cannot leap over tall buildings. You know, there's no way for me to get there. Very, very easy. All right, infuriating to me is that many of you who might have been stranded or otherwise just kicking back enjoying the games probably watched the Tuesday night game. The Eagles lost to the Vikings. If you haven't heard, oh, it was such a ridiculous game for the Eagles. Such a big win for the Vikings, though. You know, the Eagles were favored by 2 touchdowns. The offense was nowhere to be found. They were all over They were all over Michael Vick. Whoops, Donovan McNabb's on his way out of Washington even. So Minnesota just held them at bay. 24-14, the final score. Ridiculous. Philadelphia had all this time to prepare for it. They're the NFC East champs. They had a chance to get a bye. How did they let this slip through their fingers? I'll tell you how. Andy Reid is the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. So the loss means the Eagles, who could have gotten that bye, don't get the bye. And now they got to wait around and see what happens. Chicago is looking pretty good. So what does Andy Reid say afterwards? Well, every face was terrible. We didn't coach well enough. We didn't play well enough. I'm disappointed in myself. It's embarrassing. Of course it's embarrassing. The Eagles are locked into the NFC's number 3 seed. So they're going to host the 6th seed on the 8th or 9th of January. Their game against the Cowboys, for all of you Cowboy fans who want to taunt me, is meaningless in the standings. So probably all the starters are going to rest. And, you know, it was interesting, too. For people who heard about this terrible snowstorm, if they were watching the game, there was no snowflakes to be found. None. Yeah. And somebody said to me, oh, isn't that interesting? Remember, your fans, and they're always my fans, because when you're from the city, you got to claim everybody, tossed snowballs at Santa. And now they move the game. I think the Eagles are going to have to wear that for a very long time. Good place to remind you, we have our final season Nail the Score. We'll still do the playoffs. But on Thursday into Friday, we're going to do the Nail the Score thing again. I realize a lot of people are off, so the numbers might be down. It might give you more chances to potentially be the second winner this season. Chris in Connecticut, of course, was our first winner, which was exciting. But you could still be a winner. The contest isn't over. Just remember, you got to be on those phones like white on rice Thursday into Friday in the 3rd hour when our computer randomly picks the game. Then you have a chance to call up, tell us, you don't have to know anything about football, who you think is going to win and what you think the final score is going to be. All right, stay with us. An important and exciting, actually, guest coming up around the bend. A guy who's done a lot of work with political polls and has done now 8 polls in Afghanistan and really feels like the information they're culling gives you a beat on what's happening in that country and in the war effort. Stay through.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops less costly pump outs and repairs and remove septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Are you tired of police, judges, and bureaucrats using traffic tickets and other regulatory traps to trick you out of your hard-earned money? Are you sick of fraudulent bankers rigging mortgages and using the foreclosure process to steal your home? You need to visit bestfreedomtools.com. Act now to get an amazing free catalog and free DVD packed with vital information to give you the upper hand against these so-called authorities. You will learn how to overcome all traffic fines, how to stop judges in their tracks, and how to effectively combat penalty notices of all kinds without paying a penny. All the information you need to regain your health, wealth, and power is yours at bestfreedomtools.com. To get your free catalog and free DVD, call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or visit bestfreedomtools.com now for your free catalog and free DVD. bestfreedomtools.com, giving you the information you need today.
Well, if you listen to America Tonight at all, you know what a polling princess I am and how important and vital polls are, as we often talk about politics on this show. So excited about our next guest who we're ushering in from our virtual green room. His name's Craig Charney, and he is a political pollster. He's got an incredible resume that would take us all the show to spout out the things that he's done. But he was one of the senior analysts on one of the polling teams, many of them, that President Bill Clinton had. He was also, this is a big one too, he also co-directed voter education polling for Nelson Mandela and the ANC, and that was in South Africa's first election in 94. I'll tell you, that had to be interesting. I'm sure he's got stories on that. And here's the thing that we're really going to talk about too. He was the guy, his company, conducted the first ever political poll in Afghanistan. He's done seven polls since that first one, and also throughout the Muslim world. So pick a place, whether it's Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Pakistan, Egypt, Indonesia, you know, all the hot spots. Craig, thanks so much for spending time with us here on America Tonight.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about what you found in the, let's go back to the very beginning. What was that first poll like that you did in Afghanistan? What did it show? What was the information you were mining, and what did you get back?
Well, it was interesting because at that time, a lot of people were saying that nobody was going to vote, that Hamid Karzai was unpopular, and there was a lot of nostalgia for the Taliban. And we found that, in fact, most Afghans were going to vote, that Karzai and his government were popular, and that very few people wanted to have the Taliban back. That surprised a lot of people until the first elections came and confirmed that we were right.
Yeah. And now, so you fast forward, because you've you've taken the pulse, I call it the pulse, all the way through. Now, the latest one you did, share some of the, what were some of the surprising things that you found out?
Well, for 3 years in a row, things had been getting worse in Afghanistan from 2006 on through about 2008. But in 2009, we saw things start to turn around politically, economically, and in terms of reconstruction as well. The economy picked up as it left the recession behind. People began to feel that the country was heading more in the right direction, and there was a lot of reconstruction. Most Afghans said that there have been schools or clinics or other things built in their area in the last few years.
Yeah, and you sent me some wonderful, and thank you for that, some wonderful information on a lot of what you found out. And this, I think, is important for the listeners to hear, that that we have in across America and elsewhere outside of our borders. And one of the things you talk about is that the new strategy is actually paying off, or what you call bearing fruit, that, in fact, coalition and Afghan forces are regaining a popular confidence, and that the security, the situation there has stopped deteriorating for the majority of Afghans. Wow. And we've heard conflicting things to that. But what you're seeing, I guess, and this is what you show, right, that the violence is really with the Taliban, and people are getting that, huh?
Yes. In particular, there was a big shift during 2009. In the course of that year, when the new strategy of the surge of U.S. forces and their more restrained use of force meant that they were both more present, but that they killed a lot fewer civilians, while the Taliban killed more. Well, that was noticed by the Afghans. They stopped blaming coalition forces in the West so much. They started blaming Taliban a lot more. And after 3 years of feeling more and more insecure in a row, that bottomed out, and they started feeling more secure about the presence of U.S. troops.
Yeah.
Now, in 2010, things got a little more complicated. In the areas where we were fighting hardest, in Kandahar and Helmand down in the southwest, for example, things were getting better. But the Taliban came back with their counter-surge, their counter-offensive, and so they were fighting more in the northern parts of the country that used to be safer and secure. So things got a bit worse up there this year.
Yeah. One of the things that I thought was, and we talk about this all the time, we've had even former military folks on, even some CIA guys who have talked about, what do you really need to do and how key is Pakistan? How key is Pakistan in all of this?
It's a very important piece of the puzzle, and that for two reasons. First, it's the place where, just across the border, the Taliban have sanctuaries where they do their rest and recuperation. And second, because they've got their own Taliban problem as well. They have some Taliban who are Pakistani who are trying to take over their government, and they've got some people in their government, in the certain parts, who are helping the Afghan Taliban in the mistaken belief that that's going to give them more leverage against their archenemy, India.
Yeah. What do you see? I mean, because in all of this time, you have an incredible portrait of this and pulling this all together. And I said that one of the things you pointed out is that, in fact, the strategy is we're starting to see it. We're starting to see it pay off. What if there was to be a complete, because now the dates are being thrown out and Karzai's talked about dates and getting their military ready and all that stuff. What if there's to be a complete pullout sooner rather than later? What do you think that would do to Afghanistan and its people?
Well, I think, you know, most people who've studied Afghanistan think that the government there still needs some help in order to survive. It's facing a tough enemy who's present in many parts of the country. So there's a good chance the Afghan government wouldn't survive if we pulled out very quickly. That's why the president and his military advisors have said that although we'll start the pullout next year, that it'll be stretched out through 2014 when the American combat role will hopefully end. Though there still will be some troops on the ground probably helping out the Afghans even after that.
Yeah. What are you finding about the Muslim view on America throughout the entire Middle East, if we were to blanket it? And I know all these countries are different, but what kind of picture would you paint there?
Well, you know, a few years back we did focus groups in Egypt, Morocco, and Indonesia, and we found a couple of things. One was that we found that images of America were dominated by death, destruction, and domination at that point. We also found that they knew very little about good things we were doing in their own countries, because even recipients of massive aid programs like Egypt and Indonesia had heard very little about it. Our public diplomacy wasn't doing a good job. Now, things have changed a bit since Barack Obama became president. Indonesia, where he did some of his growing up, for example, is much more pro-American. In the Arab world, however, where great expectations were aroused by his arrival in power in 2009, there's a certain sense of disappointment this year when people feel those expectations have not been met.
Right. So it's about, so it really is the whole idea of the diplomacy, the hearts and minds, and saying, here, this is what we can do. This is what we can help with infrastructure, and really kind of, I don't want to say beating our chest, but saying, this is what we can do. This is what we've done. That's what's really needed, right?
Yeah. There are two things. One is that, you know, if we do something good, we have to let people know about it. Like the old saying goes, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is around to hear it, will anybody know? For instance, in Egypt, nobody knew we'd supplied the low-polluting buses, but everybody knew the Japanese supplied the opera house. They hadn't kept that a secret.
Right.
And at the same time, we also have to be careful about making promises that we can't keep. So in President Obama's first year, he gave a great speech in Cairo that excited many people about the prospects of Middle Eastern peace and also reform and development in much of the Middle East. This year, though, there's an aftertaste, there's a sense of disappointment because people don't feel that he's delivered.
Yeah. And so you think if he turns that around, or America turns that around, that could also help some of what we're seeing regarding Muslim extremism?
It would probably help a bit, although, you know, when people talk about the impact of the Israeli-Palestinian dispute outside the immediate region, I tend to be a little skeptical. What we found was that people tend to be much more focused on their own country and their own region, and on what they thought America was or wasn't doing there.
Yeah. Craig, fascinating stuff. We'd love to have you back on the show. Thanks for joining us and shedding some light on some of what you've found over all the years of doing this. Again, have happy holidays, and thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure, and happy new year to you and your listeners.
Oh, thank you. You too. Political pollster Craig Charney, lucky to have him on the show because it's interesting to find out what he found out. Opposite of some of the things that we've talked about here on America Tonight. You know, that's one of the things that we tried to do is show you all points of view and, of course, research. And in trying in the quest to get as much research and information that's available, he's a guy who's in the information business. One thing that he did find throughout, and you heard him talk about this, how key Pakistan is. We knew this. Because if you're going to turn the Taliban around, or you're going to isolate Al-Qaeda, the Taliban hardliners, and this is specifically what they showed in their polling. If you got to do it with negotiations, and that's an area that you're trying to make this happen in, you have to do this through Pakistan. That's why Pakistan is so key, and this is a big miss for the U.S. Stay with us.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now, new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
When all you want to do is hit the slopes, but instead you fall off the ski lift, woo, in a place like Maine with some very, very deep snow and conditions that were ripe to ski on. Unfortunately, the lift didn't work out for you. You also know it's a rough day when your favorite team, the Philadelphia Eagles, should be dancing around in the streets of South Philly, the snow-covered streets, no less. But instead, some little dweeby rookie named Joe Webb is killing you. Now, it's not Joe Webb's fault, because, hey, kudos to the kid for the Vikings. But the idiot, Andy Reid, not realizing what was happening to Michael Vick, put this stupid team with their backs against the wall again, gives Chicago pretty much a walk in the park and probably a bye. We'll see. But it's looking that way. And they'll get into the playoffs. But once again, they got to eke into the playoffs. And then they have to play right away. stupid. They were a 2-touchdown favorite. I wonder how many people lost money on the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to say a lot. There may be some people in the sports books that are happy in Las Vegas, but I guarantee there are some gamblers who are not happy about what happened with Philadelphia. Before we jump into all that nonsense, though, a couple of quick things. One, I hate it when I see this. I don't know why it is, but I always think, please do not have my state on the list. There's been an outbreak of salmonella. Guess what it's tied to this time? Are you a big sprouts eater? Any of you guys out there trying to do the healthy thing, eating those alfalfa sprouts on your burgers? Well, guess what? Right now, they've got 94 cases in 16 states. Yeah, the CDC with the fabulous news. They really are the bearers of bad news, aren't they? We have some bad news and some more bad news. Do you think they ever get in front of microphones and say, we have great news for you? Rarely. So anyway, the deal is that it started off slow, like always. They had a few cases in Illinois, and there wasn't any deaths reported. Then all of a sudden, the big, ugly, scary headlines that the Food and Drug Administration is telling us, don't eat the alfalfa sprouts. Don't do it. Because this farm is the Tiny Greens Organic Farm in Illinois. And believe it or not, if you go to a grocery store, they have pretty big tentacles. I know I have seen this little package of alfalfa sprouts. And so it includes spicy sprouts, radish and clover sprouts, and a bunch of other things. So I think more cases might crop up. Now you have an excuse not to eat the sprouts anyway. So we move from the CDC and all that cheery news and the list of what you cannot eat to this crazy thing about the people that were injured on the ski lift in Maine. And you know what it's like when you go up on the ski lift, chit, chit, chat, 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 chat. You're looking around, you're anticipating, you're excited. You're just ready. You're just ready to go. And this chairlift apparently was 35 years old, and you had high winds at this resort in Maine. So the lift falls apart, and there was kids on this lift. It was at a popular Maine resort. They just fell to the snow. With the blizzard, at least, like I said, you know, the snow had to be pretty good. So you're not talking about, like, I can remember the few times we skied in Vermont where it was just ice. And I don't think that they had that. And, of course, we're talking about Sugarloaf, which is a beautiful place to ski, and it's a very, very busy and famous resort area. So 8 people, 3 of them kids, had to go to the hospital. It was a double chairlift that derailed during this ultimate week of skiing. And the skiing is about 120 miles north of Portland, if you don't know where Sugarloaf is. So you had dozens of skiers also stuck on the lift for over an hour as they try to figure out how to get them down. Can you imagine that? You're watching the people in front of you literally poof, just plummet all of a sudden, including kids, boom, off the lift. And you're seeing them struggle in the snow, and you're next. You're right over the hump. You're there, and the chair is blowing around all over the place, and you're stuck. You're stuck on this lift. What are you doing? I mean, anybody out there thinking, maybe I should just let myself fall into the snow? I think what happened was they were just stunned. I mean, they were just stunned that happened. That what the resort is saying is they had a cable that supports the chairs, and it just jumped off the track. And the exact cause, they don't know. They had winds that were about 40 miles an hour. And that lift has been operational since the mid-70s and passed an inspection. But as typical, whenever you hear these stories, oh, yeah, it was on the list to be replaced because it was pretty vulnerable when it comes to winds. But we didn't do it. So 5 chairs fell 30 feet onto the trail below. Oh, you know, it's one of the people that was lucky said that what happened was it was just so stunning. But when she fell, she hit one of those retaining bar. So her goggles spared her from a serious injury because she had the goggles on. And then that new snow was a little bit of a softer landing, so that helped too. And they left it like it was, so you had it's soft. A lot of times they'll smooth that out, and if they had smoothed it out, it would have been a much bigger disaster, I think. But there were people that were definitely hurt and had to be treated. She was one of the lucky people who was able to get up from that. And that's, boy, that is awful. And the only, when you hear that snapping noise and it goes snap, 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 and then the lift is going and then people, I'm sure, were screaming. And then what would happen is, if you've ever been on the lift, I'm just blown away by the story. You can tell because I'm spending so much time on it. You would hear that crackle, that snap, almost like the scary thing of a power line. When a power line goes down, it's the same thing. And all you can do is watch. So there's about 150 people or so, skiers, that are left sitting there watching this go on. And what they had to do is they had like a pulley deal where they had to lower them down. You can do it. Get on the pulley. Come on. What do you give? And what do you do when something like this happens? What do you do for the people that are stuck? We're going to give you all the skiing that you can possibly want for the next 3 days for free. Yeah. And let me just give you a better picture of this, because I'm not really doing it justice. Think of this. The lift is over 4,000 feet long, and then it's got, you know, 1,400 and change as far as elevation, feet of elevation. The summit, Sugarloaf's the big mama. The summit is over 4,300 feet. 4,300. It is, in Maine, the second tallest mountain. Yeah. So that's why people go to Sugarloaf. They like to ski there. But, you got to be a pretty decent skier. So now you're dealing with the hysteria of that lift going down. And what are they keep saying? Look, it was inspected. It was inspected, and this is what happened. And, you know, this is radio, but the picture is just awful when you see it. You know what happened. Like I said, these things snapped, and it's lucky that no one was killed. It's amazing that no one was killed. Matt, you've skied before. Can you just imagine? I never think of that. I'm so busy. When I skied a lot, we would be so busy talking and looking around and thinking about how we were going to ski. I can't even imagine. I don't even know if I would have had my goggles on, although the winds were high, so maybe I would have.
Yeah, it's definitely relaxation time before you're about to ski, and the last thing you're thinking of is probably falling.
Yeah, whoops, grab me! That would just be, that would be the worst thing with my thing with heights. So then all of a sudden you'd just be plummeted down to the ground 30 feet, poof,
hopefully
there you go.
Hopefully you land in powder.
Yeah, well, that's what they said. That's just so lucky that snow was there, or it would, I think it would have been, maybe someone could have been killed, and they weren't, so that's lucky.
It would definitely be a couple seconds of terror as you're falling. I couldn't
believe
it. It's just a free fall into nothing.
Yeah, free fall into nothing. There's nothing helping you there. There's nothing we can do for you there. Sorry about that. And speaking of a free fall, this kid, Joe Webb, throws for almost 200 yards, runs for a touchdown, his first career touchdown as a Minnesota Viking. He fills in for Brett Favre, of course. And the Vikings, the lowly, lame Minnesota Vikings, stun Michael Vick and the NFC East champs, the Eagles. And what did they win? 24-14. Adrian Peterson was a machine, over 118 yards and a score. The Vikings knock Philly out of contention for period, the first round playoff bye. They're done for that. Oh, Andy Reid, you're the worst, the worst. So Philly gets creamed by the Vikings. And I knew they weren't going to come back. They weren't going to come back. This might help the interim dude. This might help Leslie Frazier get that job, cement that job. In fact, I'm going to say he's going to cement it. I've heard that pretty much it's his, even though there's been some debacles with the Vikings. This could have really pushed him over the top. Could have done it. Yep. And Michael Vick, Yeah, that whole idea of Vic, Tom Brady, MVP. Yeah, interesting stuff. Sad stuff. Meet me on the flip side.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
Webb goes play action. He rolls out to the right. Now he tries to make Jaquay Parker miss. He does. Joe's in trouble. He dances inside the 5. Touchdown! What an awesome run by Joe Webb. It's his second rushing touchdown, and that was all Joe Webb. And the handoff goes to Adrian Peterson. Lowers the helmet at the goal line. And a touchdown! That is a record-tying touchdown for Adrian Peterson, his 52nd rushing touchdown. That ties the record set by Chuck Foreman and Bill Boom Boom Brown.
Are you kidding me? And I get to listen to those guys give me the description. They've got to be the Vikings guys, I'm positive, right? Yes. Give me Merrill Reese any day, the voice of the Eagles. Not those two. Not the people we just heard on the air. I'm assuming that's K-Fan in Minnesota. I don't know. So, Minnesota beats Philadelphia 24-14. The only bright spot in this is that I do like, from what I've heard from other people, Leslie Frazier. I think this is his chance. This is it. He probably iced the deal on the backs of the Philadelphia idiots who blew it. The Vikings deny, shut down Philly as far as a shot at the bye. So they're hanging around the hotel room getting pedicures and manicures and everything else for days, the Vikings, and then they come out roaring, and the Philadelphia Eagles come out with a whimper Ridiculous. I mean, honest to goodness, ridiculous. And that caps off the week that was. We have 1 week left in the NFL, and the playoff scenarios are pretty clear now at this point. The Vikings certainly aren't there, but they did play spoiler in this case, and who knows what happens. That bye can be so key for a team. And then it opens up all kinds of things for Chicago. Now they've got that crack, and who knows what happens as a result, what the trickle-down effect could be. A couple of teams affected by what happened in this Tuesday, very rare Tuesday night game. My, oh, my. And if you're listening to me somewhere and you're stuck in the snow, oh, I feel sorry for you. I hope you have a couple of good books. Anyway, we are coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. If you want to chime in, you can at 800-259-5791. Let's go to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Canada's 2-0 with the World Juniors.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Who did they knock off already?
They beat the Russians.
Uh-huh.
And they beat the Czech Republic today, but today it was a little bit because some of the Czech Republic players played their major junior hockey in Canada, so they were playing the Canadian style of hockey.
Wow.
Which meant one of the Canadian players got chucked for a headshot to a Czech player.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, okay. I'm tempted to break out in a laughter, but I know you're already feeling bad enough as it is.
Yeah, ridiculous. I mean, with the chances right there in their laps, home field, you're at the link, you've just had these extra days.
Right.
I mean, there's no excuse for it.
You know, okay.
Ridiculous now, play calling by Andy Reid, who apparently wasn't watching what was happening to his quarterback, Vic, and what was going on with the Vikings' defense.
All right, okay, now let's get to the weather. Mayor Bloomberg called his people, oh, yeah, they're the best people in the world. Some of my friends in New York City had two words for him, and it wasn't Merry Christmas.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't know if you've heard, but there were some streets in some boroughs that weren't
terrible.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. By the way, I know you're originally from Philly. All your family okay in Philly?
They're fine. They said it was terrible. Everybody stayed in
right. Because
you couldn't go anywhere, especially Sunday, Monday. Monday, things were just shut down, so
right. Nobody
went anywhere. They were stuck pretty much. Or
yeah.
I have a cousin who is a nurse at the best children's hospital in the U.S. It's called CHOP.
Right.
And she had to go into work. They just set up cots for everybody. She had to go into work like 6 or 7 hours early. And so that's what she did. And I guess some other people that had jobs similar to that, like
right. Cops
or whatever, they just tried to go in early. But the roads were terrible.
Well, I was just reading in the New York Daily News where there was a couple. She was pregnant. Her water broke.
Oof.
So they went originally to a subway, you know, to a subway station to, you know, maybe
pick,
and the attendant said, no way. So they called the Jewish first aid responders called Hatzola, and they came slowly but surely. They made it to the hospital and they ended up having twins. So there was something good came out of that. So
kidding.
And the funny part is, you know, I spoke to my friends in New York and said, so how much of it did you get? Ever heard of the term bupkis?
Yes, bupkis.
We got bupkis because the storm headed east, so people in the Maritime, you know, Boston, and the Maritimes got it. We got a lot of wind yesterday. So we hardly got anything.
Well, that's kind of a nice break for you, isn't it, since you're used to that kind of weather?
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, people at the airport in Montreal were, like, going totally, you know, because the trickle-down effect.
Right.
LaGuardia's closed, Kennedy's closed.
Right, so if you're trying to go in, that's the problem that everybody in the U.S. has had. It's
right. The
effect across the United States. I don't care if you're in California, wherever you are.
Right.
If you're trying to go east or whatever, trying to go back to the east, whatever it is, you're stuck. You were stuck for a couple of days at least.
Big
crazy.
Time. Well, I mean, was the storm that just hit, like, Philadelphia didn't hit like any, like that's considered eastern Pennsylvania?
No. Well, it hit, you know, up and down the East Coast. You know this, New York, Boston, Philly, Maine. Yeah. I mean, the entire seaboard, South Jersey.
Right, part
pick a place. It was just a blanket of snow. What did happen, Sam, though, is you know this. Mm. Some places got more inches than others, so it just depended where. Like, Boston was terrible, apparently. Yeah. And then the snowdrifts, that was the thing. The snowdrifts pushing the snow up into everybody's face, and when they were trying to drive, that's why they abandoned cars like they did.
And even I heard, like, some states or some cities, the snow removal trucks, the snow removal could, I mean, the snow plows couldn't even move, so they just said, the heck with it. I mean, wait until it stops, and then we'll start clearing.
Right, because what can they do if they can't see? For goodness sake, what, are they going to run into people, or they're going to run into these cars or these cabs or buses or whatever is abandoned? If they can't see, they can't see. There's not much they could do there. I don't blame Bloomberg so much for that. I mean, it's ridiculous that they weren't able to go to some of the areas they couldn't get into. And let's face it, I say it's going to be the money addresses are going to get the results because they pay the money. They're going to pay extra. That's what I said. When you know somebody with a snowplow, look, if you're going to slip them extra money, you're going to get, they're going to go over and they're going to get your neighborhood.
And then I remember reading some guy in Queens. He goes out, he has a shovel up and down his block. People are asking him to shovel their walk and shovel their cars.
Uh-huh.
Just a block, he walked away with about $600.
Oh yeah, because that's back-breaking work.
Yeah.
So you get grab that shovel, go. People need it. They don't want to do it. And sure, I'm not surprised. I bet there's a lot of people that picked up some coin as a result of this storm.
You know, big time. And
tough
way
to do it, though.
Yeah. Well, I spoke to Steve, and he said, "So how much did we get?" I told him nothing. He goes, "God must be looking out for Montreal."
Hey, you gotta love that. Tell Steve we said hi next time you see him. We're up against it, Sammy. You have a good one. So, in talking about that, you heard what he was saying there. The whole thing that's interesting has become this entrepreneurial effort the last couple of days, because there's certainly not enough people that work for the city to go around, and they're stuck in some cases. So the person who has the means of removing snow, even as the simple shoveling of sidewalks and whatnot, yeah, they're the ones that are making the extra loot, because there's so much snow. If you weren't out there doing it continuously, think about 20 inches, 24 inches, whatever. That's something I couldn't do, to be honest. That's where the snow blowers. You got to have a snow blower. If you're in that situation, you got to have a snow blower. I bet the couple of places that were open, the hardware stores, the Home Depots, the Lowe's, all those places, and guarantee they were sold out of everything. Anything to do with snow removal, guarantee it was all gone. By the way, in case I didn't mention the score of Minnesota, the final score in the drubbing of Philadelphia was 24-14 on the Tuesday night debacle for the Eagles, so 24-14. Don't forget, we have our last regular season Nail the Score coming up on Thursday into Friday in our third hour.
Webb goes play action. He rolls up to the right. Now he tries to make Jaquay Parker miss. He does. Joe's in trouble. He dances inside the 5. Touchdown! What an awesome run by Joe Webb!